Okay, I would like to discuss with you a minug. Today we're going to do a minug of Malava Malka. You asked for this. So we're going to do Malava Malka. I want to discuss with you a couple of interesting things that I've seen relating to Malava Malka. Okay, first thing, things that are all new to me. First thing is, this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, just a general background. Le'olam yisad adam shulchanoi demotzoi Shabbos kidei lelavois es ha-Shabbos. It's a minog, it's a beautiful thing that a person should arrange his table motzoi Shabbos to escort Shabbos, the queen. Shabbos has come, and now Shabbos is leaving, the Nesham Yisrael is leaving, so we escort her by preparing a meal in her honor. Now this is not a chayva. Everyone knows that you're not mechuyev to have a suda from Lava Malka, but it's a mitzvah min hamuvcha. Now believe it or not, noshim have the same obligation as men in this mitzvah. There's a famous Chazal tell us that there's a bone in the body called, I don't know how to pronounce this, nischoyu. Nun, Samach, Chof, Vav, Yud. These letters have some significance, or the loose bone. It's known as the loose bone, or known as the bone called the Nun, Samach, Chof, Vav, Yud. I'm not sure how this is pronounced. And this bone is sustained only from the Sudas Milava Malka. No other part, no other meal sustains this bone, and it is from this bone that a human being will be resurrected. Tchias HaNesim will come through this bone. So when a person eats Milava Malka, what he's really eating is he's feeding the bone that he needs for Tchias HaNesim. What this means, obviously, these are mystical things, we do not know what it means, but there is such a tradition. Now, where does it come from? This Suda is very much associated with David HaMelech. And in fact, if you look in the Zmiros, Askinu Sudasa Dim Hemnusa Shlemosa, Chedvasa Demalka Kadisha, Askinu Sudasa Demalka, Dohi Sudasa De David Malka. The Suda of Malka is associated very much with David HaMelech. Now, where does it come from? So the most obvious connection is the Gemara Masech the Shabbos had not even that long ago, where David HaMelech asked Kadosh Baruch Hu, tell me when I will die. I want to know the day that I will die so I can properly prepare. So Hashem says that there's a law before me, I do not reveal to a person the time when he will die. And after much discussion, Hashem told him, I'll give you this. You're going to die on Shabbos. And therefore, every single Shabbos, David HaMelech, but he viewed it as a sakana. The whole Klal Yisrael, who needed David HaMelech, he viewed it as a sakana, and he would learn the entire Shabbos to make sure that the Malach HaMavis will not have Shlita over his Neshama, as is explained in detail in Masechta Shabbos. When Mitzoy Shabbos arrived, and he survived, word went out to Klal Yisrael, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. David has survived. He has survived another Shabbos. The Malach HaMavis only has Shlita over David on Shabbos. Shabbos has passed. It's Mitzoy Shabbos. He has survived. And that's a good sign. That means that he will be around for the next week. So David went and made a su'uda. He made a su'uda every Mitzvah Shabbos. So it came to be known. This is a legend, this is a tradition, that this su'uda came to be known as the su'uda of David HaMelech because of his shevach su'udas hoidah. He gave shevach v'hoidah to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he survived. So it's very interesting that a person wants to make a su'udas hoidah. People have different events they go through in their life, and they want to make a Suda Saida. The ideal time to make a Suda Saida is Mitzvah Shabbos, because that, in essence, is what the Sudas Malava Malka is. Besides the fact that you are escorting the queen, the Shabbos Malkasa, but it was also instituted by David as a Suda Saida. So you're following in the tradition of David to give Shevach for the Kadosh Baruch Hu that you have survived a Sakana. It's an ideal time for a Suda Saidah Mitzvah Shabbos. Now, it's interesting that when do you make the Suda? So, many people have a minhag to stay up very late in Mitzvah Shabbos. Is that true? Was that an accident? Is that a mishnah? Where does that come from? So, Hanach Lahem Yisrael. You take.
Alright.
Taking a nap on Shabbos for some reason. So, I never thought it was a Jewish thing. I mean, I thought it was because it's you go to the movies, Sunday, whatever. What?
You're off Sunday.
You're off Sunday and Shabbos. You've rested, so you chaperai mitzvah Shabbos and you get a little carried away before you turn around. It's already 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay, but it appears that this has a Jewish source. Hanach lahem li yisraelim inim avim b'nei neviim. There are three things that are associated with David Hamelch. Three different times. Three different things. Number one is Shavuos. We all know Shavuos is the Yom Hilulah. It was when David was born. There's a tradition that David HaMelech died and was born on Shavuos. He was born on Shavuos and he died on Shavuos. It's his day. One else, when the Ushpizen of David is Hoshana Rabbah. Those 2 days, now I don't know if it's common among us, but by Hoshana Rabbah, it's more common by Hasidim, or Shavuos, Hoshana Rabbah. But more than that, the Hasidim, they stay up the entire Hoshana Rabbah. We don't do this.
Yeah,
what's called?
Hoshana
Rabbah. But not necessarily stay up. Okay, a lot of Sfaradim, you lay the entire Mishnah Torah. Ashkenazim, they say the whole Tehillim. You're supposed to say the whole Tehillim. I know in Yeshiva, they Chaim Berlin, they go to the Sukkah and they stay. A lot of people they say the whole Sefer Tehillim, the night of Hoshana Rabbah, because Hoshana Rabbah is the Ushpizen of David HaMelech. But it appears, I'm not aware of this, it appears what I've seen in my sources, my books, is that the Hasidim is a time honored minhag to stay up the entire night of Hoshana Rabbah, saying Tehillim and laying Mishneh Torah, all these things. You stay up, and also Shavuos. Who doesn't know about whether you stay up or not? That's another story. But who doesn't know about the ancient meaning of staying up the entire night of Shavuos? Isn't that interesting? Those two nights that are associated with David, they stay up the entire night. Why? Because the Gemara makes a point of telling us that David HaMelech did not sleep his whole life. He never slept more than a half an hour. The amount of time that a horse sleeps. A horse has something like 60 breaths, about a half an hour. The Gemara makes a point that David HaMelech did not sleep his entire life. He only slept for short periods of time, less than a half an hour at a time. David did not sleep. And therefore, days that are associated with David are times when you don't sleep. Shavuos is in the domain of David. The Neil of Shavuos, the night we don't sleep. Hoshana Rabbah, it's the Ushpizen of David. Hoshana Rabbah, you don't sleep, you stay up the entire night. Mitzoy Shabbos, Dohi Su Dasa, the David Malka. You don't sleep, go to the movies. You go out. You make sure you keep yourself busy Mitzvah Shabbos so you don't sleep because it's David HaMelech, and anything that's associated with David HaMelech, there's no sleeping allowed. Yeah.
Well, he must have taken a nap right before then because we know he had.
He woke up, the Kinar woke him up, Chatzos Laila, right. So right before that was when he took his half an hour cat nap or horse nap. Right before the Chatzos Laila. But that's a very interesting idea you never thought of. Never thought of this, is that Mitzvah Shabbos, there is such a custom, and it's didn't brought down, to stay up. If you can't stay up one night a week, some people do this, so the Mishmar night is not Thursday night. The Mishmar night is Mitzvah Shabbos. Not, of course, doing things that you not, of course, doing Narishkeit, things that you should not be doing, things which you should be doing, Ava Subanim. The kid's not going to last that long, but things that you should be doing, it's a time to stay up the entire night. A whole new idea. Anything that you associate with David HaMelech is a time when you should give up your sleep. Okay, now there is such a segula. There are a lot of segulas associated with Malav Malka. One of them is it's a segula for Parnasa. A person is mechabed mitzvah Shabbos by making some type of seuda, whether it's large, small. Okay, it's brought down. I don't know. I'm not into these things. I don't know where these things come from. But there's something. A lot of schools for a lot of different things. One of them is Parnasa. Why? So I saw a beautiful remes. Asay Shabbat Chachol V'Al Titzarech Labrios. There's an expression in the Gemara. A person should not overextend himself. A person should not. You should make a Shabbat. Simply means, don't don't purchase the most expensive food and delicacies for Shabbos, because by doing so you're going to put yourself in the, you're going to run out of money. You'll be in a state of poverty, and you'll have to take handouts. You'll have to take charity from the community. Asay Shabbat Chochol. Make your Shabbos mundane. Don't overdo it on Shabbos. Va'al, and thereby va'al titzorech labrios. You will not need to come on to charity. You will not become poor. So some take this Maimer Chazal, it's a beautiful idea, and they say, no, what it really means is you should honor the Suda of Malava Malka. Make your Shabbos chol. How does one make his Shabbos mundane? It means extend the Shabbos into the chol. One's the chol, Suda's Malava Malka. Malava Malka. If you make your Suda chol, that will be a merit. Al titzorech lebrios, you will have parnasa, you will not need to worry about anything. A very interesting remes, yeah.
What about the story of this rabbi that would, during the week, buy something and put away the best for Shabbos?
Right. So you're asking, let me ask you a better question. The Gemara says, "Kol mezoynoisav shahoit mezoynoisav and hoitz and hoitzoyis shal adam mezumlo from Rishon Chutz." For the expenses of Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's a contradiction. On one hand, it says that whatever you spend for Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's not part of the calculation. On the other hand, it says, I say Shabbat Chol V'Yal Tzach L'Brios. So there has to be, the simple answer is a balance. There's a balance. You should go spend a little bit extra and don't make such cheshbonos, but don't overdo it. You have no right to go to a 5-star hotel every Shabbos. That's ridiculous. There has to be a balance. I once heard another very nice shot. It all depends if you have a parnasa. If you have a steady income. If you have a steady income, you have a job, you have an income. So then it's not so far-fetched that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will you'll get a bonus. You'll get a bonus, you'll get another client, you'll get another account. It's not so far-fetched, you'll be matzliach in your business. So if you have a steady income, then go all the way. As then, all of your expense on that account. But if a person, unfortunately, is unemployed, he's out of work, and he has that parnas, and everything he has is very meager, then you have no right to be a tzaddik and say, oh, I'm not... Then you apply the principle, I say, Shabbat v'chol v'yalat et tzorech labri. So there's an ahem, it's a general question. But this is a very beautiful idea to take this Maamar Chazal and say this exactly what we're referring to when it talks about the Inyan of Mla Malka. So another very beautiful remez is the this is the way to give you a Haggadah. That Chassidim HaYishonim, used to go visit the Rebbe, which Parsha? They didn't go for Shavuos, they didn't go for Chayisar, the Chevron. They went to the Rebbe for the Toichecha. Because the Rebbe had the Kerch to Mahapech Klol LeBracha. He read the Toichecha in such a way that the Psukim turned into Brachas. What does that mean? I have no idea. I have no clue what this means. The Rebbe was the Baal Kore, he would lane, and everyone came to hear the Rebbe and say the Toichecha. But I give you a little teeny mashal. One of the most finding psukim in the Torah is the Anshe Sedom, Chatoim V'rohim Me'od. They were evil and sinners, very much LaHashem Me'od, very much LaHashem, very, very much. Can you get worse than that? The Anshe Sedom, Chatoim V'rohim LaHashem Me'od. So the Bali Darshanim say this pasuk refers to Malava Malka. Sidom is Rosh Tevos, Samach, Suuda, Dalid, David, Mem, Malka. Suudasa, the David, Malka. Roim, what is Roim? Roim has a sherish of Reus, friendship. Chet, Chatoim, it means, Chet means to miss the mark, but Chet also is used al derech toshu, means V'chitei es habayis, by Tzaras. To purify the bias. So the Baal Darshanim say, Anshe Sedom, people that come together, and the people who come together and participate in a Suda, the Machpe, they go the extra effort to make a Suda, the Dovin Malka, the way it should be made. These are very great people. The Anshe Sedom, they're Royim, their friendship increases. V'chatoim, they purified. Chita yasabayis ma'ol l'Hashem, they become very holy to Hashem. So you take a pasuk that is such an evil pasuk, and you mamish mahavechit into the complete opposite. Sodom, remember, every time you hear Sodom, Melach Sodom, you now have a new taich. It's Rosh Teva, Suda de David Malka. Now let's give you some other. Now something. Now I looked in the Sira. I don't see this. I saw this in my Chassidish Sfarim. It says that the minig is. Some say is that when you say Askinu Sudasa, when you make a Sudas Mava Malka, you're supposed to say Askinu Sudasa. You say Askinu Sudasa Friday night, Shabbos day, Shalosh Shudas, and you say it also Malava Malka. So Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shabbos afternoon, you say Askinu once. But the minig is, I don't know. It doesn't say that in this Sira, the article Sira. Maybe I have another version. I don't know. And it says that the minig is that when you say Askinu Mitzvah Shabbos, say it three times. So the question is, why would you say Askinu three times when you only say Askinu once, Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shabbos afternoon? So the answer is because it needs chizuk. Suda Slav Malk is a Suda where people are mezalzel, they don't take it very seriously, they're very makbid on it, and therefore, in order to divrei chachamim tzrichim chizuk, and therefore, it appears it was the custom of many communities in the Chazik, the Suda Slav Malka, to say it three times. What do you eat? So I always thought, you know, what do you already have to eat by Suda Malka? So, of course, lechatchil, you should eat, you should wash, have a meal. There's a whole shayla, some say you bedavka shav, something Suda Malka that you don't need, that's a chaviv, it's precious, that you don't have the whole week. So machel that you only eat from a lava malka. That way you'll give them lava malka chashivas, that's one inyan. And also there is such a minog, it's not, you know, everything is what's the chicken and the egg, which one came first? To eat leftovers. So you say, oh, the reason why you love it, because you gotta get rid of it, right? You gotta get rid of it.
Sunday night is
left. But some say no. But it's shiori mitzvah. The adrab in order. That's all part of what malav malka is. You have to take the kedusha of Shabbos with you into the week. So there's a hakpad the bedafka to eat leftovers. Like I said, that's probably, you know, that you right away. I'm very suspicious. That all started after the fact. It's like a drush that says there's nothing else to eat, and we got to get rid of the leftovers. So eat the leftovers. Now you make a drush. It takes dafka. Oh, you're taking the kedusha of Shabbos from the kedusha of Shabbos. You're bringing it into the week. Okay, but there's obviously something. It is brought down such an idea of shiore mitzvah. There's such a concept of taking the leftovers from before and bringing it to the week. And there's also such an idea of eating something which you did not have the entire week. It should be chaviv admo. Do you have to wash lachatil? Of course. B'dieved, you can eat anything you want, even a coffee, a tea, and not even so. That's sort of it's just a tremendous chiddush that even eating nothing, just coming and sitting down by the table and reflecting that it's now Mitzvah Shabbos and the Shabbos is leaving, Dahi, that's also a token fulfillment of Dahi Sudasa, the Dava Malak. I know, we're coming to Shalosh Shudas, I remember learning, you have to eat something, or at least Torah, learn. You could be Yaitz Shalosh Shudas, learning Torah. Learning, because it's a spiritual achila. It's an achila of Luchu Lacham Ubalachmi. But at least learn, at least read the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos. That's also a token fulfillment of Malav, Shalosh Shudas. Malav Malka, you need even less. You don't even have to learn. Just come and sit by the table for 10 seconds and reflect. Dahi Sudasa Dav Malka. This is a gather of Malav Malka. There's a custom. Yeah?
Would you say
a custom that we light two candles?
Four candles.
We light two.
Two candles. Interesting. You do? Yeah, light two candles. Okay, so I did see brought down that there's a custom at four candles. Well, I'm assuming it's because it's the fourth meal. We have four. You have the three sudas of Shabbos plus you have Malav Malka, and there's a legend. The legend is anyone that has makbid their whole life to light the four candles the way they should in honor of David HaMelech Mitzvah Shabbos will not leave this world until he zoicha to a gilui from David HaMelech. David HaMelech will appear to him before he leaves this world. There's such a legend. What?
You have to increase to four to get David HaMelech around.
Yeah.
If you were not eating anything, would you say
that three times? Yeah. What?
Would you say the As Kingdom if you?
L'chari, yeah. Why not? Why not? As Sudah, he does. So you have a sitter. What does it say there?
It says,
oh, look at that. So he does, it's true that the Arishkol sitter does not say. The Arishkol sitter, he doesn't say three times, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, and it says something else to say three times, Simtav HaMalzim. This is not a Kishlevana. Forget a Kishlevana. Simon Tov Amazav Yehelim L'Chodesh remains three times, and David Melech three times, but does not say in the Arts, because they're not in the Ashkenaz and the Svart three times. But he has the Kol Yaakov Siddur, it's an Ashkenaz and Svart. Svart, Kol Yaakov Siddur says three times, and L'Chodesh doesn't say three times. You don't hear anyone saying three times, that's Kim Sudasa, Friday night, Shabbos day, and Shabbos afternoon. Now, this is also very interesting, this also was new to me, is that if a person eats, why is the third Suda called in Shulchan Aruch Shalosh Sudas? All of the Bedakt can tell you, no, it's not Shalosh Sudas, it's Suda Shlishit. The third Suda. So why in Shulchan Aruch is there a Seif called Shalosh Sudas? Rav Yosef Kar didn't know Diktok. Rav Yosef Kar's Diktok, knowledge of Hebrew, is far, far superior than any Baal Diktok there is today. I have no doubt about it. It's a Bucky Mufluk in the Hebrew language. So why did he call it Shalosh Sudas? So there's a lot of Torah, and the most simple interpretation, everyone, this is brought down all over, is because if a person eats only two meals, generally in time of Chazal, people eat two meals. You eat breakfast, you eat like a brunch, and you eat a lunch and dinner. So when a person on Shabbos eats the two meals, the Friday night meal and the Shabbos morning meal, who says the meal that he's eating is L'Shem, is in honor of Shabbos? He's eating because you have to eat. It's not necessarily nikar that your meals that are being consumed on Shabbos are in honor of Shabbos. But when you eat the third meal, which is redundant, it's super, because you don't normally eat that meal. That's a third meal in honor of Shabbos. That is a revelation that the first two meals were also eaten in honor of Shabbos. So the Suda Shlishis is a revelation that the first two meals were also eaten in honor of Shabbos. So the Suda Shlishis is a revelation concerning the Shalosh Seudos. So when you eat the third meal, you're revealing that all three meals were eaten in Lashem Shabbos. Now I saw that that's why it says that if you don't eat the Malava Malka, then who says, like the additional layer of protection, who says that your Suda Shlishis was really eaten? Today in our times, we eat a lot. Eat another meal. So the reason why you have a Suda Shlishis is because you're hungry. You're hungry. You're on a diet, so you ate very little for breakfast. Yeah. Now you're eating the third meal. It's late in the afternoon. So who says the Suda Shlishis is in honor of Shabbos? But when you eat the Malava Malka, the Malava Malka is a gilui on the Suda Shlishis, and then the Suda Shlishis is a gilui on the first two meals. So it's like a pyramid effect. It comes all the way down. But it's brought down. It's brought down in many places. The Malava Malka is a revelation that the third meal was eaten L'Shem Shemayim, L'Shem Shabbos. The Nela, now you know that the other two meals also, if it encompasses the entire Shabbos. Now, until when can you eat Suda Shlishis, the third meal? So there's this tradition, these legends, that you eat the Suda Shlishis until that Gehenim doesn't open up. It's not like, you know, the movie theaters that are open up and say Shabbos the very first moment. Gehenna is shut until the last person ends Shabbos. But more than that, as long as there's someone still eating a Malava Malka, then Gehenna is closed. The Neshamos do not return to Gehenna until as long as there's someone eating a Malava Malka. So among... We hope so. But it only works, it says it only works if someone in his own lifetime was Nizer in Malava Malka. If he's Nizer, then it protects him. I mean, we don't know what these things mean. But there are people that have a custom to delay. There are different customs if it's proper to make the Malava Malka as close to Shabbos. Let's say a person close to Shabbos is over. Or you'll have your Malava Malka. What are you going to have ready? You're just going to have a little cup of coffee. But for Malava Malka, you should have it, and you'll say the Askinu Sudasa right before you go to sleep. Is it better to delay, or is it better to have it as early as close to the end of Shabbos as possible? So there are different customs. But what's interesting, it's brought out in many places, something which I thought was originally was a joke, but it's very, very serious. It's brought out in many places that there are many people that have the custom to have the Malava Malka Sunday morning, a Sunday Sunday breakfast. And the Sunday breakfast is called the Malava Malka, and they probably even say Askinu Sudasa. So if you ever go to a Sunday breakfast, a fundraiser Sunday breakfast, there's no question. It's not a joke. It's a very serious matter. It is called the Sudas Malava Malka. It's called the Sudas Malava Malka even Sunday morning.
So it means Gehenna did not.
Yes. And that way Gehenna can be prevented, as long as you can add that there are certain groups of Hasidim, I don't know who they are, that would even wear Big Day Shabbos Sunday morning at this Suda. I know they wore whatever at this Suda by a Sunday breakfast. It has some token fulfillment and remnant of Malava Malka. Yeah.
Written surrender. Didn't eat
Shalashuddas
to maybe 11 o'clock.
Shalashuddas. And then you first did Malacha. Okay, alright. I'm not from these. These are to each his own. I'm not familiar with these things. Okay, so let me just type some loose ends over here. Some people from La Malacha, they take Lecha Mishnah. If you can, these are all obviously very big hidurim, but you have on the table lecha mishnah, but you only break one loaf of bread. Not like Friday night where you break on two. Shabbos day, you have two on the table, but you only will take one. Why? What's the significance? I really do not know. Okay, let me just just give me one second. Make sure I didn't leave anything out. Doing malacha. Some people don't do malacha. They don't do malacha until they eat their the malacha that's not necessary. We turn on the lights, but to do real, to go to work, they're makbid that it should not be done until after you finish the sudas malava malacha. Now, zemiros, from all the times to sing zemiros, okay, it's obviously it's a very nice thing to sing zemiros. To sing zemiros on Shabbos, all the meals, but the ideal time to sing zemiros is Sudas Malava Malka. Why? Because David is the Noyim Zemiros Yisrael, the sweet singer of Israel. He's the composer, he authored Tehillim, which represents the ultimate Zemer, the ultimate song, and therefore it is the ideal time to sing Zemiros Mitzvah Shabbos by the Suda of David of David HaMelech. Okay. Before we can close, we'll make sure I got. Yeah. What?
That meat.
They're all different minhagim. If whatever person likes, all it really depends on what a person likes. There's one little cute is that they're in Shulchan Aruch, the entire simin of Malava Malk is one seif, one halach. And there's another example in Shulchan Aruch where it's also one laws of the Suuda of Rosh Chodesh, which we learned today. Is that what we learned today? That is... No. It's something there. Something different. Wait. Tough Yutess. Tough Yutess, yes. We've passed it. Tough Yutess, not today. But Simin Tough Yutess. Uboy Sefechot Mitzvah Laharbos Bisuudas Rosh Chodesh. That's the whole thing. A whole simin for one si'if. And they have the same thing when it comes to Malava Malka. Same exact thing. One simin, it's simin shin. One simin is a mitzvah to have a sudas Malava Malka. So there's a famous vart that most people are not makbid on these two si'if. They're not makbid on sudas Rosh Chodesh. How many people do you know have a sudas Rosh Chodesh? How many people do you know do have a sudas Malava Malka every single week the way it should be done? Very few people. So the Musar is the pasuk in from Eliyahu. Eliyahu told the Oivdei Habal, Mosai atem poischem al shtei hasiifim. Mosai hasiifim. Ad Mosai atem poischem al hasiifim. Why? How long will you imla Hashem luchu acharav imla baal luchu acharav? You can't live a double life. You can't live a double life. Either have Hashem, He's your God, or the Baal. You can't go one day Hashem, one day the Baal. So they take that pasuk. How long will you jump over these two back, vacillate from one to the other? How long will you skip over these two si'ifim? The si'if of ignoring the Suda Shalashuddis and the si'if of ignoring the Sudas Melavim Malka. Another very interesting thing is that we do, are we makbit to the bench al hakoyis? So some are not. Halacha, when a person Friday night is supposed to bench during the week, we're not makbit. You don't see people doing this of benching al hakoyis. Three people sit down in a restaurant to have a lunch. Our Messiah Nivarecho and Yeshiva in the dining room. Shem Brachas, at the Sudas Mitzvah. So then we upgrade it. But technically speaking, when you go to a business meeting with two other Jewish partners, two other people going for lunch, and you have a meal, or you're in a Yeshiva in a dining room, happens every day, and you wash for lunch, and you say a Messiah Nivarech, ideally you should bench al hakoyis. There's no reason not to. You should have a koyis shel yayin, grape juice of wine. And we cite Birchas HaMazon, the third person should drink Bar Pei HaGafen, and we cite the Racha. We don't do it! Okay, we don't do it. What?
You have a chasm. You want to bench?
Right, ideally, when you bench, every time you bench, you really should bench. For whatever reason, we don't do this. We only do by Yisudas Mitzvah. What about Friday night? Friday night. So some do, some don't. I don't know. Everyone is different. Some people in their house, among their family, they do it. They do it the way they should do it. Friday night, Shabbos, so they do it. Whoever benches, bench al hakoyis. Some do not. But if you're not going to do it, and you want to do it once in a while, the ideal time to do it is Mitzvah Shabbos. Why is that more of an ideal time to do it than otherwise? Because we all know the famous Gemara L'Yos Lavo, in the time of Mashiach, and there's going to be the famous Udas L'Viyosan, the Last Supper,
yes.
The last meal is going to be served of the L'Viyosan, and then it's going to come time to bench, and they're going to say, "Nu, Avram Avinu mechubim benching." And Avraham Avinu is going to prav anivus. I don't have to give me benching. I'm not a tzaddik. Although the meichel on the kahuna, the kahal the meichel, let me give it. I have a Yishmael. But give it to Yitzchak. Nah. I have an Esav. Give it to Yaakov. If he's not going to want one from the other, until Fon will come to Dov, and Dov will say, I'll take it. So David will bench al hakoyis. Being that the suit of David, whereas David HaMelech, and also David, it also represents Yimos HaMashiach, Luzbon, from the Luzbon is Tchias HaMeis. It's a very mystical type of suda which touches upon in Yonim of Olam Haba, Mimela, and Yimos HaMashiach. You should already bring that Kedusha in. Bring it. How do you bring it? Bring in David, bring in the Kaishal Bracha, and someone should bench al hakoyis. There's another very interesting minug that's new to me. It's an ideal time to have someone bench al hakoyis. And before I conclude, one thing I want to conclude, I want to make sure I got everything in before I conclude. We did the sleeping. I'm just make sure the neros, different types of food, gehenim. Malacha.
So benching on the coast is not related to having a minyan?
No, it's not. Three people can bench al hakoyis. Three people. Now, this suit, by the way, is such a chash of a suit, the Nigar Adin. There are different minhagim, Shabbos Chazoin, during the 9 days. Are you allowed to have meat? The suit is similar to Malka. So there are many heterim. But that's how holy the meal is. The meal is such a holy meal. There's all shot out of wine from Havdalah, Chamar Medina. We do it. Also, okay, different minhagim. They're different minhagim, but really technically, there's no reason why you can't have grapes, you can't have wine. We were very, the halacha l'maaseh mishum is mekel. But what about having meat from Malava Malka? So the chilukei deis. But a person that is whole year round, it's machshev, the sudas Malava Malka, there's no question about it. If you're machshev the whole year round, you can have meat for the sudas Malava Malka, mitzvah Shabbos, because if you appreciate the Suda, you could have meat then as well. Yeah.
Sunday morning.
No, it appears not. That's very pushing it. It could be.
Steak?
It could very well be if a person has Malava Malka Sunday morning, every Sunday morning with steak, I am sure you will find many Paiskim that will say, your Machshev, Suds Malava Malka, if the real Hashivas, Mestame, it's going to work then as well.
You make a Siyah.
Okay, so I believe I've gotten everything I want. I want to conclude with one last thing. There's a minug. This is a time-honored minug. The minug is that Mitzvah Shabbos, he's supposed to say over stories of tzaddikim, specifically from them. Never heard this? The Baal Shem Tov. You never heard this? This is a famous thing. That there's such a thing, there's such a minug. It's the real chassidim that Mitzvah Shabbos, by Sudas Malka, what do you mean by Malka? Torah? Enough, he already had enough Torah the whole Shabbos. The rabbi spoke, Shalosh Shuddis, he went to an Oinik Shabbos, and there was a scholar in residence, went to the Daf Yoimi. Enough already, right? Enough. So what do you do by the Sisla of Malka? So Maislach, Maisim of Tzadikim. This is brought out Tzadikim. What? Now, I saw something very interesting. This made an impression on me, and it's not necessarily related to Mitzvah Shabbos. What is the inyan? Is there such an inyan of stories? Like, you have these biographies of Gedolim. Is there such an inyan of writing a Rav Eliyashah? They put out now 20 books, and Rebbe Sid Kanievsky. Like a business. Is there such an inyan? Science, that's about money. Is there such an inyan of Maisim from Tzadik? So I saw in the Sefer, something says fasting, he says, yes. Why? What's the pshat? Besides, so you'll tell me because you have to learn from their ways. Okay, not everyone is shy. You know, you learn the Daf Gemara. Not each his own. Some people are very inspired from the life of tzaddikim, the stories. But there's more to it. What's more? What's the depth when you tell over stories about tzaddikim and you learn from their ways? Their neshama and olam ha'emes has pleasure. They get it. We don't know how this works, but a tzaddik did something good in this world. A person did something good in this world, made an impression, and people are living and they're telling over stories, and it makes an impression. You know, you hear a good story, it makes an impression. I told someone yesterday a story that he something that he did 30 years ago. I remember I was a little child, he was a pirchei leader, I've seen him around. I told him over a story, and he was nishtoiming that I remember the story, and I told him so. It was a beautiful story, whatever the story was. Tzaddik in the Olam HaEmes, they hear, when they sense that earthlings in this world are relating things that they have done, and they're having hana, and they're learning, they derive pleasure. They derive tainuk in Olam Haba. So what? So they derive tainuk, so big deal. They derive. In the Olam HaEmes, there's no free lunch. That's what it's all about. It's called Mechla Dikisufa. The reason why Hashem put us into this world is in order that we can earn our keep. If Hashem wanted to bring us to Gan Eden, Hashem would create the Neshama and put the Neshama in Gan Eden. Why didn't Hashem do this? Because we would not have any pleasure, because we didn't earn Gan Eden. If you don't earn your keep, you're embarrassed, you're ashamed. Hashem put us in this world to give us an opportunity to earn Olam Haba. So here they are, the Tzadikim Olam HaEmes, they're deriving Tainut because people of this world are talking about them. And learning from their ways, they feel embarrassed. They feel, look at that, we are having tainug, we're getting something. We just can't take something for free. We have to reciprocate. How do they reciprocate? They go before the Kisei HaKavod and they demand Hashem should be mashpia upon these people that are telling over these stories, bracha, parnasa, good health, good children, all of the good things. So it's a form of, there's reciprocation. By tense, if you learn a Daf Gemara, very good. You learn a Daf Gemara, so very good. So Hashem will reward you for learning the Daf Gemara. But when you tell over a good story about a tzaddik, and the tzaddik has tainug, that you're telling over a story about him, the tzaddik has enjoyment. The tzaddik feels the need to reciprocate. I don't want to just have hana without, I don't take a free lunch. I have to reciprocate. So let me do something for this person that was so kind to tell over a story about me. I'll go to the Kisei HaKavod and tell over a story and reciprocate. So this is true the whole, but there's such a thing that Mitzvah Shabbos is a mimic to say over, so that there is one particular story which is supposed to say over every Mitzvah Shabbos. I never heard it. And what, I don't remember the detail. I never do this. But the story made an impression on me. And I'm going to leave you this last story, very quick story. It made a very big impression on me. And this is the story that you're supposed to say over every Mitzvah Shabbos. What's the story? My Shahoy, there was once a person who lived somewhere, who knows where he lived. I don't know the details. Just telling the general story. He was extremely poor, destitute. Had a large family, wife, children, didn't have what to eat, struggled from day to day. Regular, normal, good person. And one day he has a dream that he should travel to this country, the other end of the world, and go to a certain city and the village, and there'll be a bridge. Right by the bridge is going to be a certain pole. And right near that pole, if you dig deep down, couple of feet, you'll find a treasure. And the dream was in incredible detail. He never saw such detail, never had of a dream. Okay, he wakes up, he tells his wife laughs at him, goes back to sleep, and this dream keeps on occurring over and over again until it gets to the point where he tells his wife, "Wife, I am going to this country, I'm going to that bridge, I have to go see this." And he and his wife tells him, "No way, you're not going," and this goes on and on and on over and over until finally they all think he's crazy. He gets on a horse and buggy and he travels. It takes him 6 months to get there. He goes and he travels. He comes to this country, doesn't know the country exists. It exists. Is there such a city? The city exists. Is there such a neighborhood? It exists. Can't believe. He goes, all of a sudden he sees the distance, the bridge. Exactly the way he saw it in his dream. And he goes closer, he sees the pole, and he's in shock. All the details are here. It has to be. The treasure is there. He goes closer, but he can't go to where the treasure is because there's a war going on. And the army has set up a camp in that vicinity. And there's no way he can get anywhere near where that pole is that he saw in his dream for all this time. And he waits, maybe the war will be over. He waits and waits and waits, weeks, months. Nothing changed. He's depressed. So out in his depression, one day he goes into a restaurant and he's sitting down there by the table. And there's another person there, the other person there, he tells him what's bothering him, he goes story, he relates the story, and he tells him about the dream. The guy says, "You know, it's so funny you tell me this dream. Because, you know, I also, for the last year, I've been having a dream over and over again. Every single night. And my dream, there's a country on the other end of the world, and there's a city, and there's a village, and there's this shack and a bridge, and there's this house, and it looks like this, this, this. And in the basement, there's a treasure. I'm chalishing to go after a whole year of hearing this dream. I'm chalishing to go for my wife and this. I'm not going to go." And the guy's listening. And he can't believe what he's hearing. He's the guy, the other person he's describing his own house. So after he gets up, and he goes back home, and he goes to his basement. He digs in the basement, and sure enough, he discovers the treasure. This is the story, end of the story period, that you're supposed to say over every Mitzvah Shabbos. What's the pshat in the story? Pshat is, you ever go to, I'm sure you've all been to shul Mitzvah Shabbos. I don't know if you see what goes on Mitzvah Shabbos in some shuls. People cannot wait to get out. They're running. You cannot daven fast enough. And you can't start. If you start a half a second late, the world has come to an end. And everyone, by the time you finish Shemoneh Esrei, half the shul already is out the door. V'yitin l'cha. Who's going to stick around and say V'yitin l'cha? Who's going to stick around? People, it's just pikuach nefesh to get out. Where are you going? Where are you going? It's 5 o'clock. Where are you going? A date? Where are you going? You're already married. Where are you running? I don't know. Where is Mashiach? Over Subhanim? Where is the Mikuach Nefesh? I gotta go. Gotta go to the movies. I gotta go here. I gotta go to work. I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get Shabbos out of here. That's the treasure is here. This story is the person's living at home. Where am I going to get money? Where am I going to find a treasure? The other end of the world. All the way. In another village, another town. And by a bridge. And you travel, you go through an enormous effort to get there. And then when you get there, what do you learn when you get there? Where's the treasure? The treasure was right in front of your eyes, back home. Shabbos is the ultimate treasure. If we really appreciated the value of Shabbos, no one would be running to Daven Ma'ariv early. No one would be running out of shul. Everyone would want to hold on to Shabbos every last moment. You wouldn't be running the treasure. You think the treasure is the other end of the world. When you finally get the treasure, the other end of the world, you realize the real treasure we use is what you had all along right in front of you. That's what a person should remember when Shabbos is over. This is the treasure. Shabbos. Don't think that in the next 6 days of the week, all of the big business that you're going to accomplish or you're going to succeed is the treasure. The Shabbos is the treasure. That's why this story so perfectly defines Mitzvah Shabbos. Don't think you have to run to the end. When you run to the end of the world, you'll come back. This is where it is. So this is Mitzvah Shabbos, Mav Malka, Dohi Sudasa, the David Malka. Okay.